Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, we will sing together out of Psalter 120, the first and the third stanza. Judge me, God of my salvation, plead my cause, for thee I trust. Hear my earnest supplication, save me from my foes unjust. O my soul, why art thou grieving? What disquiets and dismays? Hope in God, his help receiving, I shall yet my Savior praise. We mentioned to you Psalter 120, the first and the third stanza.
Thank you.
scripture reading for this evening you can find in the Gospel according to Matthew, the 6th chapter, the verses 1 through 15. We mentioned to you Matthew chapter 6, but before we will read the 12 articles of our undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We mention to you Matthew chapter 6, starting at the first verse. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, and they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Thus far.
Let us ask the Lord for his presence and his blessing on his precious word. Let us pray. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, we read in thy word that thou art holy, holy, holy. And in prayer, we come before thee, that holy, that infinite, holy being in heaven, that majestic God of the heavens and of the earth. Lord, may it not be evil in thy sight that we open our sinful lips unto thee. Lord, thou hast said in thy word that we are to pour out our hearts unto thee, to come before thee with all our needs, all our cares, everything for body and for soul, our physical needs, our spiritual needs. And thou hast said, open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. And Lord, tonight, we've heard a chapter from thy precious word, and we heard so many times that word, that name, Father, that Father in heaven. And tonight we will meditate upon the instruction that the Lord Jesus Christ has given unto his church, unto the disciples, and unto his sheep, unto the children of God, that they are to come before thee and to address thee as that Father in heaven. What a wonder! For thou art that almighty God who cannot look on any sin. And yet, thou hast instructed sinful people, unworthy people, to address thee as their Father in heaven, thy dear children. Lord, wilt thou then teach us to pray and instruct us what is meant, why the Lord Jesus has instructed his sheep, the disciples, to address thee as Father. Lord, we pray that thy word may be richly blessed tonight for thy honor, for thy glory, and for the instruction of all. Also those who do not belong unto thee as a father, as children. Thou art their creator, but they are yet dead in sins and trespasses, belonging unto that evil father, that horrible father, Satan. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, as we heard in this morning, thou hast that power to deliver them. Thou hast that power to translate them out of that kingdom of darkness under the dominion of sin and Satan, and to make them alive and to bring them into the kingdom of thy dear Son. O Lord, wilt thou look upon them in mercy, and may they hear tonight what they miss. They miss a heavenly, merciful, faithful, good, almighty Father. But may also all thy dear children hear whom they belong to by thy grace, by the work of the Spirit. Teach us to pray then truly with our heart, our Father which art in heaven, that we may come before thee in childlike reverence, looking unto thee, trusting in thee, adoring thee with awe and reverence as that heavenly Father. And we are sinners upon this earth, unworthy. Lord, we beg thee then, come among us tonight. Give opening to preach, Lord. If thou wilt not open, who can preach? But if thou wilt open, who cannot preach, Lord? Give the unction then of thy Holy Spirit. Thou art an almighty God. We are completely dependent upon thee. May there be much prayer. May there be much opening, Lord. We pray and beg thee for thy grace, for thy irresistible work of thy Holy Spirit among us tonight. Oh, may there be a little comfort for poor and needy sinners, for thy dear people. May they see thee as that loving Father, as that giving Father. Oh, instruct us what thou hast given unto us in thy grace and mercy, all undeserved, all from thee, because of thy good pleasure, because of reasons out of thyself, because there is no reason in us. But also may we learn of thee as that heavenly Father. Lord, we pray then, remember the whole congregation. We ask thee, Lord, to remember thy church upon this earth who is persecuted for the name of thy dear Son. Uphold them, care for them, remember them, visit them, and strengthen them. We pray and ask thee, Lord, to remember also Gabriella, who hopes to travel to Colombia to see her father, who is receiving treatments for cancer. Lord, and then he will receive his last treatment. Oh, we beg and ask thee, Lord, that these treatments may be blessed to his body, that he may be healed. Thou art the Almighty God. Thou hast healed and done wonders in the past, and thou art that same God yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, care for her as she travels. Give her safety. Give her a blessed time to visit with her father, with her family, and bring her again at the appointed time among us. Lord, we ask thee then that thou would remember us all as we are traveling to a never-ending eternity. Prepare us, Lord. May we lay before thee the government of this great nation, the prime minister, and all those who are called to rule over us, federally, provincially, locally. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that thou would work in their hearts, and that they may have the tender fear of the Lord in their hearts, that thy word may be a light upon their pathway, and that they must bow their knees each day, beginning begging thee, Lord, give wisdom, send help, give light, and that they may delight to follow thee, thy ways. Lord, we beg thee, give also repentance of all our national sins as a nation, that we sin against thee, abortion, same-sex marriages, gender confusion, Sabbath breaking, and a multitude of other sins. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, have mercy upon us, also euthanasia. Lord, open minds and eyes and hearts to see all the evil of sin, and that we may flee far from it. We beg thee, Lord, that thou would also give thy people more holiness, more hatred for sin, more love for thee, more love for each other, that they may be praying for each other, that they may be living for thy kingdom, for thy honor, for thy glory. Give more zeal, Lord, that they may grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they may increase in sanctification, that they may produce more fruits by thy grace, by thy spirit, for thy honor, for thy glory. Lord, remember those who are expecting children. Care for that life in the womb of the mother. Those who may be close also to the time of delivery, spare life and give life. Remember those who long to have children. Lord, wilt thou remember them also with that cross. Thou art the Almighty God. Bless them that there may be fruit in the womb, life in the womb. Remember those who are single and looking and desiring a companion for life. Wilt thou provide in thy mercy and thy goodness godly partners for life. Remember those who are in a relationship and dating and desiring to get married. Keep them, guide them, protect them, and give them also to live holy in the relationship. We pray and ask thee to remember us as parents, Lord, as fathers, as mothers. Give us the tender fear in the Lord to raise our children according to he has promised in baptism before thee an oath, to raise them to the utmost of our power in the fear of the Lord. We pray, bless thy word in our homes. Help us, Lord, in educating our children, whether it's at school or home. Give wisdom, give grace. Care for the school, all those who work there, the staff, the principals, the bus drivers, but especially, Lord, remember our children. Work in their hearts, Lord. Take away hearts of stone and give hearts of flesh. Thou art the Almighty God. May there be many Timothys at school or in our homes among our children, Lord. We beg thee then that thou would give them this evening a good hour in thy house. May we hear of that faithful, of that good, of that merciful and loving Father. Lord, richly bless thy word. Help thy servant to preach. Help each one to listen. Take away all the obstacles and the hindrances. Cast out Satan, who would like to whisper and who would like to pluck at that seed. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that he may be cast out and that we may have a good hour, a hour of peace in thy house, underneath thy everlasting precious wings, Lord. Look upon us then, wash us, cleanse us of all our many sins, we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Congregation, let us continue now with singing from Psalter 416, stanzas 1, 3, and 5. As the heart about to falter in its trembling agony panteth for the brooks of water, so my soul doth pant for thee. Yea, thirst for thee I cry, God of life, O when shall I come again to stand before thee in thy temple and adore thee. Psalter 416, stanzas 1, 3, and 5.
Thank you.
Dear congregation, with the help of the Lord this evening, we will begin to meditating on the instruction given by the Lord Jesus Christ in that prayer. The disciples asked him, "Lord, teach us to pray." And the Lord gave them that most perfect prayer, the Lord's Prayer. This prayer given by Jesus Christ can be divided into three parts. First, there's an address. Second, there's six petitions. Three petitions for the kingdom of God and for his glory. And three concerning our spiritual and physical needs. And then the third part, it ends with thanksgiving and a doxology. Jesus Christ gave this prayer to teach his disciples, his sheep, how to pray. Jesus did not give this prayer that we would just vainly repeat it and repeat it. For example, to receive the forgiveness of our sins. No, true prayer is to be done in awe, in humiliation, and in faith, with heart and with mouth. Psalm 25, verse 1, "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul." So the Lord Jesus taught his disciples to pray that well-known prayer, the Lord's Prayer. Matthew Henry compared the Lord's Prayer to a letter that was sent from earth to heaven. He said in this letter, there is many petitions that go from earth to heaven. Man has many needs, and the Almighty God in heaven has an abundance to supply according to those needs. When we send a letter, we like to write an address on that letter. For example, if you would write a letter to your mom, you would put on that letter, address it, "Dear Mom," and you send your letter. Now, what should be the address on this letter that goes from earth, from sinful man, to heaven, to that Almighty God? What should we write? What do you think should be the address? Children of God, how should you address God in heaven? What should be the address? What should we write respectfully on that letter? As Matthew Henry said, Jesus Christ said, he taught that the address is to be our Father in heaven. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, and all believers, all children of God, he taught them in prayer that they may address God in heaven as Father. God is your creator and my creator, but is he your Father? Those who do not have a new heart, those who are not born again, those who have never fled as a lost sinner, refuge unto Jesus Christ, they do not have God as their Father. They belong yet to another Father, to a horrible Father, a murderous Father, a Father that lies and that deceits and has joy only in your eternal destruction. But tonight, it's a special instruction for God's people, for the sheep of the Good Shepherd. So what did the Lord Jesus mean with addressing God in heaven? What is the instruction for us, Church of God? And you who missed this, please listen. May you hear what you miss, and that your hearts may begin to cry out, that you also may become, by God's grace, a partaker of these rich blessings. So what the Lord Jesus taught about the address in prayer as our Father in heaven, we can read in Lord's Day 46. Lord's Day 46, which you can find in the back of your Psalter on page 83. Question and Answers 120 and 121. Question 120. Why hath Christ commanded us to address God thus, our Father? That immediately in the very beginning of our prayer, he might excite in us a childlike reverence for and confidence in God, which are the foundation of our prayer, namely, that God is become our Father in Christ, and will much less deny us what we ask of him in true faith than our parents will refuse us earthly things. Question and answer 121. Why is it here added, which art in heaven? The answer, lest we should form any earthly conceptions of God's heavenly majesty, and that we may expect from his almighty power all things necessary for soul and body. Our Father, which art in heaven. Dear congregation, I think we will all agree. To truly pray with mouth and heart is a difficult task. I don't think any of us tonight would be satisfied with their prayers and say, I'm happy with my prayers. We may pray, but is it with our heart and mouth? And the Lord says in Psalm 62, verse 8, trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge. Selah. Selah. Children of God, must we not complain about our prayers? How often they are so poor? How our hearts can be so hard, so cold, and our life, we're so prayerless, and when we pray, it feels so lifeless, so faithless. Prayer is intimate. It is speaking to the highest majesty in heaven. It's going before the Almighty God. And how unfit we are to open our sinful lips and to speak unto God. Prayer is coming into the presence of God. God is infinitely holy and pure. And God's people also many times tremble to pray. They feel so unfit, so sinful, so polluted. What would motivate them to pray in the right way? What would stir them up to be in prayer with awe and reverence and faith and confidence, with affection, with a heart inflamed for God? Jesus Christ gives the answer. That in the very beginning of their prayers, they are to address our Father which art in heaven. It's an example. Why? That in the very beginning, as we read in the catechism, as our forefathers had explained it, that in the very beginning of our prayer, that our hearts would be motivated with a childlike reverence and confidence in God. What rich instruction in this prayer for poor, miserable sinners that tremble and stammer and moan and groan in their prayers. God's children are instructed by the Lord Jesus Christ to address God in heaven as Father. Matthew 6, verse 9, after this manner therefore pray, ye, our Father which art in heaven. What does the Lord Jesus Christ desire to instruct his sheep, God's people, with this beginning address? Why does Jesus Christ instruct you, child of God, to pray to God as a Father in heaven, to address him as this way? And so tonight, we will focus not on how God's people feel in all their misery, but we will focus especially on what is the instruction for God's people. How are they to pray in this way and why? So the theme tonight is addressing God as Father in prayer. Three thoughts. First, as a loving Father. A loving Father. Second, as a giving Father. And thirdly, as a heavenly Father. So addressing God as Father in prayer, a loving Father, a giving Father, and a heavenly Father. May the Lord richly bless his word tonight. A loving Father. God is a loving Father. I don't know you, but maybe some of you do not have good thoughts of your father. Maybe you don't have a good relation with your earthly father. Maybe your father was a difficult man. Maybe he was responsible for many scars on your soul. I pray for you that you may be healed. But this affects how we think of God as a father. And we need to stop. We need to listen to the word of God, who is God as a father. He's a loving father. What does the Bible teach about to us? About God as a father. The Bible speaks about God as a father in a very positive, in a very beautiful way. What do we learn from the term father? The term father implies that he is approachable. That he's not a God that's distant and far away and hard, a tyrant. No. When you hear God as a father, that means he's approachable. God as father draws sinners unto him with the cords of love. God in Jesus Christ is approachable. Yes, that holy God of heaven and earth, infinite holy, is approachable through and in Jesus Christ. Psalm 145, verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. Did you hear it? He's nigh. Jehovah is nigh. His ear is open unto their cry. Children, when you cry in need, you want your father to hear because you believe that he has power to help. Those poor beggars, the children of God, they may cry unto God in heaven. He is a loving father who hears them. Sheep of the good shepherd, you who are born again, you belong unto a loving father. He is your father through Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, by commanding you, children of God, to address God as father, he's instructing you that God is approachable. Approachable. This should move you and me to come unto God with childlike reverence, adoring him, worshiping him with reverence, as a child looks with awe to his father. He delights when his children come unto him, approach unto him in prayer, pouring out all their needs unto him. It speaks about a relationship. In a healthy family, there's a relationship between the father and the children. The father is the protector. The father is the provider for his family, for his children. The children love their father. They respect their father. There's a relationship. And when those children approach their father and speak to their father with all their cares and all their needs, this warms the heart of a father. This is also true in a spiritual sense. With reverence, God's heart, may I say that, is warmed. It's tender, it's kind, it's loving when his children approach unto him in prayer. He's a loving father, a holy, loving father. A true believer has a relationship. It's not just in the head, it's a relationship. They're children, and he is their father. He knows them perfectly. As a father, I know my children, but I don't know them perfectly. But this heavenly father, this loving father, he knows his children absolutely perfectly with all their cares and all their needs. Oh, to belong to this heavenly father, this loving father, what a blessing. He knows what their needs are. He knows how to provide for them. He knows how to protect them. Children of God, the Lord Jesus Christ instructs you to pray and to address God in heaven as Father, not to think of him as far away, as a stranger or someone who you tremble to dare not open your sinful lips unto, but he's approachable in Jesus Christ. He's a loving Father. He's a perfect Father in heaven for all his dear children. Listen to what we read in Psalm 103, verse 13. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. What does pity mean in this text? It means he has compassion. That's what it means. Like as a father has compassion on the children, so the Lord has compassion on them that fear him. You want an example? I see the Lord Jesus Christ because he's the express image of God. You want to know God the Father? Then look at the Lord Jesus Christ because he's an express image of God. Remember that leper that came? Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And what do we read in Mark? Especially in Mark, he was moved with compassion. He had pity. He was moved with compassion as that beggar that was at his feet crying unto him, that approached unto him and cried unto him. And he reached forth his hand and he touched him and he said, I will be thou clean. Children of God, you are much dearer to him than any of his other creatures that he has created. He's a loving father and he cares deeply for you. Think of what the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 26. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? God cares for the birds and children of God. Your heavenly Father, your loving Father cares for you much more because you're much better than those birds. Dear little lambs, sheep, maybe you say, but I don't dare say Father. That word is way too big for me. I don't dare say that word. I don't dare voice that in my prayer to address God as Father. What a word. I understand. And yet, a little example. And maybe you say, because I don't dare say that with confidence in my heart, I don't believe he's my Father. He can't be. Otherwise, I'd feel comfortable. And that I would be able to speak to him and pray to him, Father in heaven. A little example. You see a family, some children. You see a teenager, 14 years old. You see another one that's 5. And you see a little baby sitting in the high chair. There's a family. That older one can say, Father. He can speak to his dad and say, Father. That one that's 4 or 5 can also. But can that baby say, Father? No, he can't talk yet. All 3 are children. They all belong to that Father. Those little tiny babes, those poor ones, those ones who do not dare say Father, they also belong. And you may address God as Father, as the Lord Jesus Christ has instructed. And that's not just in your prayer repeating Father. Father, I heard that sometimes in Taria, I'll be honest, in some of their prayers. Almost every sentence was Father, Father. And they pointed to this and they said, but the Lord has instructed us to pray this way. But I said, also, my dear friend, be careful that it's not just a vain repetition and that word means nothing. The instructor said, why? Why does the Lord Jesus instruct us to pray this way? That we would come unto him in childlike reverence. A loving Father. and he desires a close relationship with his children. A biblical father, a good father in a family, delights when his children speak to him. And he doesn't like it when he doesn't hear anything from his children. For example, when they live far away and they never even send a message. You want to hear from your children. But a father is delighted when the children come and speak to him. Say, "Dad, I want to speak to you about this. I have this problem. I need advice. I need help." That's a healthy relationship. And God, as a father in heaven, desires a close relationship with his dear sheep. He desires that you speak to him. He desires that you delight in speaking to him with all your cares, with all your needs. God, your Father, children of God, he delights to see you in prayer, on your knees, in private or public, that you seek him. That you seek his face, that you seek communion with him in prayer. God is a loving father. He desires to be approached. He desires a close relationship. And Jesus taught, "Our Father which art in heaven." What else is he instructing them? He sees them as sons. He sees his children not as servants, not as slaves, but he sees them as sons through his son. Think of that for a moment. This speaks of a close, a dear relationship. Jesus is instructing his children to think and to pray and to address God as Father, that they would also think that through him they are sons. Romans 8 verse 14. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." What does the Lord Jesus further desire? To instruct his sheep, the children of God, that God the Father adopts sinners as children, as sons and as daughters. God is sovereign. God is merciful. But he's also a very personal, a personal, loving God. God adopts sinners, unworthy sinners, hell-worthy sinners. He adopts them through his son as sons. Children of God, you may address God in heaven as Father. Father. You hear sometimes when you walked in the streets in Bolivia, you heard a little child say this precious word. And to us in English, it's Daddy. You hear a little child say, "Daddy." Isn't that tender? Isn't that dear? You just hear it in their voice, respect and love for their father. God adopts sinners as sons, and he longs to be addressed as Father, to hear that dear cry unto him. And speaking about adoption and sons, Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son. But God the Father has many adopted sons. Open your Bibles, please, to Ephesians 1, and we will read verses 3, 4, and 5. Ephesians 1, and we'll read verses 3, 4, and 5. Ephesians 1, 3, 4, and 5. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." God is a loving father, and he adopts sinners as children. Sometimes it happens in this world that a father or mother abandons or they disown a child and they say, "You're not my child anymore. I've had enough. I don't want to see you anymore." Horrible, sad, sinful, wicked. Will God the Father ever disown one of his children? Will he? No, he will never. They may feel they are worthy of it. They may feel because of all their sin and what do they remain to be. And they may feel in their soul at times as if God has forsaken them, as if God has forgotten them. But that is impossible. Isaiah 49, verse 14 through 16. But Zion said, God's people, "The Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me." Is that you? Can a woman forget her sucking child? You say that's impossible. That she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Now listen, yea, they may forget. It's possible. A mother may forget. Yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. That loving father, they're graven on the palms of his hands. They're always before him. He always thinks of his dear children. What a faithful, loving father for such unworthy children. Congregation, to have God as your father, that's life. That's everything. This is the only comfort in life and in death. God is a loving father. God is an approachable father. He delights in a relationship with his children through his son, Jesus Christ. What else is the Lord instructing his children? Also to have confidence, that they would have confidence, that they would trust in him as a heavenly, caring, perfect father. Children of God, your heavenly father knows every hair on your head. Yes. And not one hair will fall to the ground without his care. You say, why is that mentioned? Is hair important? You say, that is such an insignificant detail. Why is it mentioned? Why? That we may have awe for him. That even the smallest, what we would call insignificant detail, is in the hands of that heavenly Father. And that we are to trust in him and have confidence in everything. In the tiniest little details in our life. But in also all what we would consider the big, important, great things. God, your Father, desires that you rest in him. That you trust in him as that loving Father. Isaiah confessed this. In Isaiah 12, verse 2, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation." What a confession. Can you confess this? Is this your song? Is this your strength? That the Lord Jehovah, the I am that I am, he is my strength. He is my song. He's saying, there's no other place, no other place of refuge. There's no other place of joy but belonging unto that faithful Father. God is that loving, almighty Father. He's an almighty Father to guide, to keep, and to protect all his children. He's that merciful Father to forgive his children of all their sins. God is also a righteous Father. You say, that's not comforting. It is. He's that righteous Father. And he can acquit in a righteous, perfect way because of the payment of his Son. He can acquit of all the iniquities, of all the transgressions, of all his dear people by the blood of his precious Son. Colossians 1, 12 through 14. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Is God your Father, or do you still belong to Satan, that wicked, that evil, unloving Father? Let us sing now from Psalter 278, stanzas 1 through 5. 278, all stanzas, I believe. 278, all 5 stanzas. The tender love a father has for all his children dear, such love the Lord bestows on them who worship him in fear. 278, all 5 stanzas.
Thank you.
addressing God as Father in prayer. His children also are to see him as a giving Father. Dear congregation, there is not one perfect father on this earth. We're all sinful. Children, you have sinful fathers. And yet, as a sinful father, I know how to give good gifts unto my children when they ask me. How infinitely better is God the Father for his dear children who ask him for good gifts, and he even gives them good gifts even when they don't ask. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 7 verse 11, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" I would like to speak for a moment to you who do not belong to this good, faithful, loving, giving Father. You may ask God for all things that you need for your body and for your soul, but especially also for your soul. But maybe you say, "But I've been such a sinner. I'm such a wicked man, boy, girl, woman. May I ask God good things for my soul? Does God call me to repent and to seek him?" Yes. May I ask God for good things for my soul? Yes. I'll give you an example. The Israelites, the dear covenant people of God, God had been so good to them, but they rebelled and they made themselves absolutely abominable in his sight, absolutely wicked. That good Father, that good God in his mercy that led him out of Egypt through the wilderness, brought him into Canaan, that land that flowed with milk and honey, and he saw them bowing to idols. Think about that for a moment. Bowing to dead stone images. How that must have grieved God. How that must have stirred up so much wrath. But listen, what does he say to that people? Amos 5 verse 4. "For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me and ye shall live." To a very wicked, undeserving people, "Seek ye me and ye shall live." My dear friend, seek God. God has the power and ability to give you all good things you need for your soul, for your never-dying soul. I pray you see your deplorable, lost state, that you're under the power, under the dominion of such a wicked father, and that you miss a loving father, a good father, a heavenly father, a merciful father, a giving father. Recipients of God's grace, what an encouragement to ask God your Father, for all things, for body and for soul. God is a loving Father, but he also is a giving Father. God delights to give good things to absolutely unworthy, wicked, hell-worthy sinners. Children are encouraged to go to their father. Their fathers are to be good leaders, guiders, but they're also to be compassionate. Compassionate to the needs of their children, each one in their different needs and cares. And Jesus Christ instructed his children to pray after this manner: "Our Father, which art in heaven," because that infinitely good Father can give you those infinite gifts that you need. What does he give? What has he given you, children of God? Let's think about that for a moment, that you may be encouraged to draw nigh unto God as a father, as a loving father, as a giving father. What does he give? May I ask you? What's the first thing you would mention that God gives to unworthy sinners? What would you write down? What would you say? What is it? Listen, he gives himself. He gives himself. That almighty, infinite, holy God, he gives himself to unworthy sinners. You say, is that true? Is that true? Yes. Genesis 15, verse 1. Abraham, he received a message from God. Listen. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. God is saying, Abraham, I'm thy God. Abraham, you belong to me. Abraham, I'm your father. Abraham, I give myself to thee. What a blessing. What riches. What a father. What a good, loving father. He gives himself. Think of how Abraham must have felt. He was called to leave his country. Where did he have to go? He had to trust, leave it all. He had to go to a foreign place, live far away from all his loved ones in obedience. And then the Lord visits him and speaks to him and tells him simply, Abraham, I give myself to thee. How is that possible? How is that possible, congregation? How is that possible, children of God, that God can give himself to such unworthy, wicked, polluted sinners? There's only one answer. Because of his son. Because of his son, through him, there's reconciliation. Because of him who gave his life, he gave everything, that opened the heart of the Father to give himself to unworthy sinners. What a giving Father. What else does he give? He gives his son. He gives his only beloved son, the Lord Jesus Christ. As Paul expressed it in 2 Corinthians 9 verse 15, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. What a gift. A savior for sinners. What a substitute for those who have nothing. Those who only can present sin, those who are unrighteous, who are worthy to die, to be condemned forever. He's the substitute. He stood in their place. He who knew no sin was made sin, that his children become righteous, that he could adopt them as children and love them eternally. Through him, there's redemption. Redemption being delivered. Not only now, but eternal redemption, forever delivered from sin and Satan and hell and all the consequences of sin and flesh itself. God gives himself. God gives his son. What else does he give? He also gives them his Holy Spirit. Congregation, we need the Lamb and we need the Spirit. Because without the Spirit, there's no life. He sends his Spirit into them, renewing them, and he dwells in them, instructing them of who they are, and he reveals unto them his Son, Jesus Christ. He's the Comforter. There's a Comforter at the right hand of God the Father, Jesus Christ, the Advocate. But God's people also have dwelling in them. They're temples of the Holy Spirit. He gives unto them his Spirit. They have a Comforter dwelling in them. What a blessed people. What a blessed people. He not only convicts, that Spirit also sanctifies them and conforms to the image of Son. They have the Spirit. And if we have not the Spirit of Christ, we are none of his. But we read in Romans 8 verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. God the Father gives His Spirit unto them, that at times those poor, trembling sinners may say, like what I hear in Bolivia, Daddy, Daddy, Papi. Romans 8, verse 15, 16. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. What a loving Father. What a good giving Father. What else does He give? He gives His Word, His precious Word, to make them wise unto the only way of salvation, to reveal His Son, because only through the Word, right, confession of faith class? It's only through the Word that you can know of the precious Savior, Jesus Christ. God reveals Himself through creation, but there's no salvation but through His Word. It's the Word that works faith, the Word that works regeneration, the Word that works conviction of sin, that strips and empties, that Word that teaches of the only Savior, Jesus Christ, and who He is. Children of God, you have a giving Father. He gives Himself. He gives His Son. He gives His Holy Spirit. He gives His Word. What a giving Father. Do you hear, my friend? You who are yet lost, what you miss. You miss everything. Really. You may have much in this life, but if you do not belong to this Father, you miss everything. Everything. Seek the good gifts. Seek God. Seek His Son. Seek His grace. Seek Him today. Psalm 86, verse 5. For Thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon Thee. The best gift is God giving Himself to unworthy sinners through the blood of His Son by the power of the Holy Spirit. Psalm 86, verse 15. But Thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and in truth. The Lord Jesus instructed, after this manner, therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven. His sheep are foolish, and His Father gives guidance. He gives guidance for the way through His Word, by the Spirit. His Word is a light upon their pathway. He guides them. He instructs them. He's that good Father, that giving Father, that loving Father, that Father that has an infinite in wisdom to give counsel and to guide and to instruct. Psalm 73, verse 24 and 25. Thou shalt guide me with Thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. And now listen. Is this your confession? Can you say this? Whom have I in heaven but Thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside Thee. Children of God, poor needy sinners, pray unto Him. Draw nigh unto Him. He's delighted to hear your voice. He's a loving Father. He longs for a close relationship. Beg Him every day for all your needs, for grace to obey Him, for grace to deny self, for grace to resist all temptations, for grace to serve Him, to love Him, to follow Him, to obey Him. He is worthy. Ask it in the name of that mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. He delights in giving. A loving Father. A giving Father. And now our third thought. A heavenly Father. The disciples asked the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, teach us to pray. And he responded with an address to begin, "Our Father which art in heaven." He's a heavenly Father. Children of God, what should this motivate in you? What should this teach you? What should this instruct us? Our Father which art in heaven. He's not on earth. No, he's in heaven. He dwells in the heaven of heavens, as we read in Psalm 115, verse 16. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's. God your Father is in heaven, in that majestic dwelling place. In heaven, where it's all purity, no sin. What a majestic place. What this should do to us. This ought to humble us, to bow before him in the dust. Psalm 96:4-6. The Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. We're to pray, children of God, addressing him as Father in heaven. This should motivate us with awe and reverence that in prayer we're before an infinite holy God. Today, many people put God on the same level. The same level. That's completely wrong. God is infinite holy. He's in heaven. We should bow before him in awe. I think of Isaiah. He saw a little glory. A little glory in that vision in Isaiah 6. When that curtain was lifted up. And he saw those cherubims covering themselves. 2 feet. 2 wings with their feet. 2 with their faces. And they flew with the other 2. And they cried, "Holy, holy, holy." What did this do to Isaiah? What did this little glimpse of the glory and majesty of that Father and that holiness in heaven, what did he say? We read that in Isaiah 6 verse 5. "Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Our Father, which art in heaven. I read a story once. There's a man. And he said, "The Lord appeared to me." And the person that he was speaking with said, "What were you doing?" He said, "I was shaving." "What did you continue to do? What did you do? You said the Lord appeared to you. What did you do?" He said, "I continued to shave." He said, "I can tell you, my friend, the Lord did not appear to you. That's impossible. How could you just continue to shave?" No. A little glimpse, a little impression of the holiness and the glory and the majesty of God would cause us to be humble. We would fall on our knees. Our Father which art in heaven. He's an infinite holy God. But this also should motivate us to pray as he is that almighty Father. He created everything with his word. He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's that almighty Father. Fathers, can we help our children in every care and need? Can you? I can't. Many situations were absolutely powerless. But God the Father, he is infinite in power. Infinite. Nothing is impossible with him. All things are possible with him. And he can care for you in all your cares and needs, children of God. Listen to what we read in Psalm 89, verse 6 and 8. "For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord unto thee? Or to thy faithfulness round about thee?" He's that almighty Father in heaven, that heavenly Father. The Lord Jesus instructed his children to pray, "Our Father which art in heaven." Why? Also to motivate you, children of God, to think of your future. To think of your future. Your future is not on this earth. We are to be pilgrims. It's to motivate to think of your future home. Where's your home? It's not on this earth. It's in heaven. It's in heaven. And your faithful Father, loving Father, givenly Father, heavenly Father will care for you and bring you through this wilderness, through this journey, and he will bring you home. The Lord Jesus Christ left, and what did he say to his sheep, to his disciples, that he instructed to pray, "Our Father which art in heaven"? He said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will take you, and I will bring you home." This is the longing. This is the longing of God the Father, that all his children are finally brought home to be with him. This is the longing of Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners, the good shepherd of his sheep. He longs that they would be with him to behold his glory. Yes, listen to what he prayed in John 17, verse 24. "Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." Children of God, little lambs, little sheep of the good shepherd, think of your future home. Think of that future home. May it motivate you to live closer to the Lord, to be free from this earth, to be free as a pilgrim. Pull up your tent pegs and to be looking, longing, anticipating that time that you would go home. Our Father, which art in heaven, to behold the glory. Do you long to see his beauty now? Do you long as David? "There's one thing that I desired, and that is to behold the beauty of the Lord," to see something of his beauty through his word in the preaching, when he's proclaimed, when he's lifted up, to see a little glimpse, to see a little of his riches, of his mercy, of his grace, of his goodness. That's a good day in the house of God. Or it's a good day with your Bible on your lap in your home. But then, soon you will be brought home, and then you will see him, all his beauty. You will see him as Job said. Your eyes will see him, children of God, dear believers. You will see your Savior. You will see him face to face. No more interruptions. Not through a glass darkly, but you will stand. You will see him, that precious Savior who gave his life for you, who died for you, who gave his blood for you. Oh, to see him. What a day that will be. What a day to see him and all his beauty and all his glory, that precious good shepherd, that Savior of sinners. What a future. Our Father which art in heaven, a loving Father, a good Father, a giving Father, a heavenly Father. Children of God, seek it. Seek to be free from this world. Our tent pegs are so deep, mine are too. But there's such a glorious future. Why don't we live more for the future? Why don't we live more longing to go home? It's because we're so worldly, so sinful, so clinging to all the things of this world. Is it not? God, the Father, in his mercy, in his grace, in his goodness, through his Son, adopts children, and he longs for them to be brought home. We read in 1 John 3, verse 1, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us." I'll read it again. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Oh, to be a child of God, congregation, to have that heavenly Father, that's life. That's everything. Seek it. Seek it in the Lord Jesus Christ and live. And this is for myself too. I preach it to myself. Live with an anticipation of going home. Be an Advent people. An Advent people for that future to be with your heavenly Father. Let us close with a doxology. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. Amen. Almighty, eternal Father in heaven, few words, poor words to describe the greatness, the goodness of thee as that Father, that loving Father, that giving Father, that heavenly Father. Lord, bless thy word richly, mightily, powerfully. And what we have heard, may we take it with us in this week to meditate upon it. And that thy dear people may be stirred up, drawn to thee with that cord of love, drawn to thee to live closer to thee, to depend upon thee, to look up unto thee, to pour out their hearts unto thee. Lord, we beg thee, have mercy upon us, also upon those who do not belong unto thee. Yet, Lord, we pray that thou would work mightily. May there be many more gathered into that fold with that one shepherd. Thou hast those sheep that are under the seal of election. Lord, gather them. May there also be many here in this congregation. Have mercy upon us, Lord, and do above all that we can think and ask. Help us in this week to be faithful to the callings that thou hast laid upon us, not only as parents, husband and wife, but also in all our responsibilities. Lord, help us. Give grace day by day. Forgive us of all our sins of this day in preaching and in listening. Blot it out in that all-atoning and precious blood. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us sing in closing Psalter 203, all five stanzas. In sweet communion, Lord, with thee, I constantly abide. My hand thou holdest in thy own to keep me near thy side. Psalter 203, all five stanzas. Thank you. dear congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.